Today's Shir is Masechta Nazir, Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Nun, Amar Aleph, four lines from the top of Dayan Yoimer. In our previous Shir, we had a discussion between Rameyers, Tamidim, and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, why our Mishnah had to mention both that a Nazir, what causes a Nazir to become Tamei, to forfeit his Naziris. The Mishnah said both a mace, if he's exposed to a full mace and to a kezias min a mace. And the Gemara's question was that if he becomes tummy by a mace, why does it have to also say, if he becomes tummy by a kezias min a mace, why does it have to say a mace? And the Gemara said that lo nitzrucha ella lemeish enel of kezias. We spoke about a case where there's a mace who doesn't even have a kezias of boss on him, but he's a full mace that he gives off tuma. But ask the Gemara, as we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, today's Shir, Vaday in Yoimer, Rabbi Yehuda could still ask that why can't we learn the halacha of Kazayis Menameis from the following halacha? It says, Al Avim Menamegaleich, if we've learned that if there's just an Aver of a mace, the Nazir becomes Tamei, Al Ameis, so certainly than the entire mace, like Kol Shekein. So our question comes back. If the Mishnah already told us that a Nazir, if he comes Tamei for a mace, is considered Tamei, and all the halacha of a Nazir Tamei are going to apply, then the halacha is that a whole mace certainly should give off Tumah. And as the Rishonim explained this question, the Mishnah Masechta Ohalos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin, teaches us, Hayvarim Elam Shir, that there is no shear to the tumah of an aver, and even the smallest amount that loch is gives off tumah, smallest aver. So what does it have to say on an entire mace? Says the Gemara, Ella k'da'am Rabbi Yochanan. The reason it had to say the halacha of a mace is le'nitzcha ella nefil. The Mishnah is coming to teach us the halacha of a nefil. Nefil, we know, is a child that was born that was not able, that was not meant to survive, that not able to survive. The halacha is shleinuskashru eva begidim, that his various parts of his body have not even been completed into a whole body. That even though, because that is the way Chazal teach us, a body, a fetus looks as it's formed. First, its organs are formed, and only after the organs are formed do they all come together. And Rachmal Tzlan, there is such a nafel. That nafel gives off tuma. And our Mishnah is teaching us that this nafel that gives off tuma under such a situation gives tumas oil. And in our Mishnah is teaching us, Hachnami b'nefel shloin eskashu eva begidin. And since he has not complete, even though he isn't complete, he still, if a nazir becomes exposed to such a nafel, he will be considered tamei, that it should undo his naziris. Rava gives a different teretz to the question that we've been asking. That why does the Mishnah have to say alameis if even the smallest parts of kezias or aver cause tuma? Certainly, a mace entirely should give tuma. Says Rava, lo nitzrucha. The Mishnah is only referring to case of roiv binyanai or roiv minyamai. If the most of the atzamis, the make of the bones that make up the person, or if they're most of the height of the person, or most of the count of those bones, shein ben roiva atzamas, that even though you don't have together a roiva kava of atzamas, the halach is that atzamas give off tumah when you have, as we're going to be learning, a roiva kava of those atzamas. But here we're learning that if the atzamas that are left of the snifter are roi binyanai, they give off tuma. And that's what the Mishnah wanted to teach us, that even though there's no full aver, because as we just learned, Taisva says, if there's a full aver, then the halach is that full aver gives off tuma. Here we're speaking about a case that there is no whole aver, but even though there is no roi, and also there is no roi vakav, because if you have a roi vakav at Tzomis, it also gives tuma. You have neither of those situations here, but as long as you have roiv minyan or roiv binyan of the nifter, that is enough to give off tumah, that will be considered the nazar was exposed. That will be considered that as if the nazar was exposed to tumah. We've been learning in our shiurim about the halacha of aver, that just an aver of a nifter gives off tumah. We've been learning in our shiur about a nafel. And this has a number of practical naftaminas. One is that let's say somebody, Rahman Slan, lost a limb of his body. And we're learning is that that aver we're learning now gives off tumma. The question is, if somebody unfortunately has such an aver in his home, may a kayin enter that home? And the halach is that a kayin may not enter that home, because we're learning here that that gives off tumma. The only question that comes up is, if that aver that's being stored in the house gets completely dried up, what will be the halacha then? Do we say that since it gets completely dried up, it's no longer considered an aver min hameis, or aver min hachai, and it gives off tumma, or it doesn't make a difference? The other question that comes up is, we're learning now, we just learned in our shiur today, about a nafel. And the question is there a chiyuv of kvura on a nafel? And it seems from our Gemara that a nafel gives off tumma. And not only does a nafel give off tumma when it was already a formed fetus, but it seems from our Gemara that even it's a not completely formed fetus, the Gemara says it's already considered a nafel to give off tumma. And therefore, the halacha is that Rachman al Tzlan, any type of nafel should be buried. The Shail Sechuvah's Shail Meshiv is somewhat more lenient if the nafel was not even five months old yet. Then maybe there's room to be makel, but and so too the Masham in the Tshuvas Chelik Dalet Siman Kef Mevav says if the nafel wasn't yet 3 months, there is no chiv kvura. But there's certainly a clear raya from our Gemara that once the nafel is somewhat formed, then there is, once the nafel is certainly somewhat formed, there is certainly going to be a chiyuv kvura on such a nafel. We also now need to understand, discuss the paiskim. Our Mishnah has just discussed various situations where there is tumah, but there clearly are situations where there's a suffix if there's tumah. And the halacha is, what is going to be the halacha just focusing on the last case that we just learned, where you don't know if the what you have a roiv binyan or roiv minyan of the atzamas of a mace. The question is, what does the nazar do? And if, as we've discussed, many times in our shiurim, the halacha is that a nazar could only bring kabbonis if he's obligated to bring the carbon. But if he's not obligated to bring a carbon, he may not bring that carbon. So now, what do we do? Do we treat it as if he became tamei and has to be, and all the kabbonis of a nazar that he brings and all the acts that he has to do as he becomes tamei become relevant? Or do we not treat him that way and not obligate him to bring all those kabbonis? It's a very interesting question, and the Paiskim are not clear how to deal with that situation. Perhaps we had learned in a previous year the opinion of Rav Shimon, which Rav Shimon said in that situation, the Nazir should take upon himself another Naziris, and he should make the following Tanai. He should say, if I am a Nazir, so then I'm a Nazir and I have to complete my Naziris. If I'm not a Nazir, then I don't have to complete my Naziris, and then this other Naziris should take an effect. The problem with that approach is that approach works only by a Naziris situation. Here we're talking about a Tumah situation, and it's not clear to me what the halacha would really require one to do in such a situation. Perhaps the only option under such a situation is that the nazir should become tamei. If he certainly is Tamei, then all the halachas of a Nazir Tamei would apply. The problem with that approach is that if he's not Tamei, we know that a Nazir is not allowed to expose himself to Tumah. So how could this person deliberately expose himself to Tumah? Because he has this question, by deliberately exposing himself to Tumah, he's being over alive. So it's very unclear what to do when a Nazir has the Suffolk Tumah. We learned, continues the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah that Kazayis Mace, that if a Nazir exposed himself to Kazayis Mace, he's considered a Nazir that's Tumah, where all the halachas that we just mentioned would be relevant. And the other case that we spoke about in the Mishnah was Kazayis Netzel. Netzel is liquid, mucus, that comes out of the body of a nes. That too is metam the nazir. All other liquid, that's only liquid that it came out from the flesh of the mace. But let's say there are other liquids that come out from the nazir's, from the corpse's body, liquid coming out of his nose, out of his mouth. They don't have the halacha of netzel. So Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Eza Netzel, what is the definition of Netzel that it considered like Tumas Mace? As we've been learning, Tumas Mace gives off a Tumas oil. Sara Mesha Karash, that the body of the person who passed away got dissolved. After it got dissolved, it hardened. V'moyel Shursiach, if they took out the liquid that came out of the body of the mace and it bubbles, that's the netzel that gives off tumah. Ask the Gemara, hechidomi. Ask the Gemara exactly what did the braisa mean? Ilema delayudina the dehu, that if we don't know for sure if it's from the flesh of the person who passed away or it's from other liquids, which we just finished saying don't give off tumah. Ask the Gemara, kikarash. Even if it got hardened, what's the difference if it went through that procedure? My have it. We don't know the source of this liquid. And if we don't know the source of this liquid, we can't be sure how to treat this nazir. Ella, says the Gemara, we have to be speaking about a case, the Yadin and the Dehu, that we know for sure that this came out of the body of the mace, that Afgav de Lekarish, that even though it doesn't get hard, the halach is that he gives off tumah. So if that's the case, asked the Gemara, why did the Braisa speak about that it got hardened? What does the fact that it did or didn't get hardened have to do with what we're discussing in our shir? The halach is that it doesn't give off tumah, that if it's from the flesh of the mace, it gives off tumah. Answers the Gemara, Amra Yirmiya, the way to understand the Braisa is bestam, that we know that this liquid emanated from the body of the mace. But we don't know from what part of the mace did this liquid emanate. From the flesh, which would cause tumah, or other liquids which don't give if tumah. So says the Gemara, says the Braisa, E Karash, if we see that it has the ability to congeal, then we know Moil Hu, and then that's why it's Tomei, and the lochus of another tumah would apply. V'iloi karash, but if it doesn't harden, then we have to be concerned, dilma kecha v'neyahu, that maybe it's not from the actual flesh. And the same thing, explained the Rishonim, says Tosfos, in understanding the Braisa. The Braisa means to say that if we have here a situation that the liquid, if you'll cook it up, it'll boil, it'll bubble, that's again a proof that it's a came from the flesh of the mace. If it doesn't bubble, then it is not clear where it came from. Says the Gemara, by Mirabba, Yesh Netzla Behema, if a kazayas of a novella, we know that a novella is also tuma. The question is, what's the halach of the netzel of a novella? Is there Netzla Behema? Is the question that the halach of netzel applies to tumas nevela, or a netzel behema, or tumas nevela is only when you have the actual meat, the flesh of the nevela. But netzel of a nevela, there is no such halacha. Mi aminin, and the Gemara explains itself. Ki gemiri, when was the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that netzel gives off tuma? Ki gemiri, when was there halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that netzel gives off tuma? Is netzel the osu ben adam? Only netzel that comes from a human being. Avol the osu ben behema, netzel that comes from an animal loy, does not have the halacha of netzel. Adama loy shna, netzel is netzel, and it makes no difference if it came from an animal or from a, it came from an animal, an avail, or from a person. It's very interesting that the Rambam, when he discusses the Shaila, says that even though we're having a Shaila about the netzel of an avail, there is no netzel of oif. The halacha is that if an oif that becomes, that's an avail, it's an oif, is also tamei. There says the Rambam, there certainly is no halacha of netzal. And the Briska Rav explains, he says that the din that a nevelas oif tar gives tuma is a very unique halacha. A nevelas oif tar only gives nevela beis ablia, only when you're eating it and it's in your throat. Says the Briska Rav, what that means to say is that it's not a din necessarily in Hilchus Tuma. It's a din in a Hilchus Achila. The discussion that we're having in the Gemara, says the Briska Rav, about Netzel and Tuma, is only when we have something which is a source of Tuma. This is not really a source of Tuma. And since it's not really a source of Tuma, that's why the din of Netzel would certainly not apply, but in the vetzel of a nevelus oif tahar, says the Gemara. But in order to understand the Gemara, we have to review a Gemara in Masechta Bechayrus Daf Chof Gimel Amin Aleph. The halacha is that we know that an animal, as long as it's alive, even if it's not edible, the halacha is that if it's not edible, when it dies, it's not considered a nevela. Similarly, an animal after it's dead that decomposes to the degree that it's not royal achilas kelev is not considered anymore an avela. The machloikas that we have there in Masechta Bechayrus, a machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Pada, is in a situation where the animal that died, the nevela, when it died, it was edible. And then it decomposed. And the question is, it decomposed, but it's still edible, Rui L'Achilas Kelev. Often when we speak about these type of halachas, the halacha differentiates between something which is Rui L'Achilas Adam, still edible for human consumption, or something which is only edible for animal consumption, but not human consumption. There's a concept of Rui L'Achilas Adam, and there's a concept of Rui L'Achilas Kelev. So now, what's going to be the halacha that an avela, as it died, was roi l'achilas kelef, and now it decomposes? Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that as long as it's roi l'achilas kelef, it has the shem achila, and therefore, even though it's not achilas adam, even though it's just achilas behema, and therefore it gives off tuma, the tumas nevela applies. But Pada's opinion is that if it's not roi l'achilas adam, it no longer is considered, it's no longer considered a nevela. However, at that point, even Bar Pada will agree not that it's completely exempt from Hilchus Tuma, but it doesn't give off Tuma Chamura, it gives off Tuma Kala. What does that mean? Tuma Chamura is Tumas Masa, that if you're carrying it, you'll be Tamei. Tumas Kala, easier Tuma is Tumas Maga. So now, given this background, we begin the Gemara's discussion. Hanicha, according to the man, the Omer, so again, our question, the Gemara's question is there netzel by behema, by an avela? And the Gemara explains as follows. Hanicha, the man, the Omer, according to the opinion that says that bas an avela gives off tumas chamura, ad leger, as long as it's human, it's royal achilas odom. But if it's not royal achilas kelev, achilas odom, as we just said, the opinion of Bar Poda is that it no longer has the full-fledged designation of nevela, and therefore doesn't give off the same tumah as a nevela, the tumah kala. But if something, as far as tumah kala is concerned, as far as the lower level tumah, which we said is tumah maga, it has to be, again, this is the opinion about Kada, ad lekelev, until it's no longer even fit for animal consumption, shaper. There's no question about netzel, because netzel only is formed when it's at the point that it's not, that this nevela is no longer roi for human consumption. The tumas netzel is a tumah chamura, and Bar Poda says that when the animal, the nevela, is no longer fit for human consumption, it's no longer subject to tumah chamura. So by definition, the question of netzel is irrelevant, because at the point that it's netzel, it's not royal achilas adam, and tumas netzel is a tumah chamura. And Bar Poda says there is no tumah chamura on a nevela when it's not royal achilas adam. But ask the Gemara, El Mandamer, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, tumah chamura ad lekelev, that as long as it's fit for human, even as long only fit for animal consumption, it has the shem nevela in its entirety. So now the question will be, how will we look at netzel? Is the halacha of netzel applicable? Is the halacha of netzel applicable to a nevela, or is it not, or is it not applicable by a nevela? Says the Gemara, Toshma. So the Gemara wants to bring an answer to the question from what we learned about the fat of a nevelas oif tahor, that we just mentioned a few moments ago, that a nevelas oif tahor is metama bebeis hablia when it comes into one's throat. Him chur b'mor, and you took the fat of this oif and you melted it. And the question is it still considered shuman of a oif, of nevelas oif that gives us tamei? The halacha is tamei. It has the din of a nevelas oif tar, and if somebody were to swallow that nevela, he will be tamei. But if you melted it, not over a fire, but if you melted it by exposing it to the chama, to the sun, tar. Because once it becomes melted by the sun, it becomes spoiled, and therefore it doesn't give off tumah. Makes the Gemara's point. If we're going to say the netzel is applicable by a nevela, and it's applicable by a nevela, as Rabbi Yochanan was saying, because it has all of the halacha of tumas nevela, and since it has all of the halacha of tumas nevela, it's according to Rabbi Yochanan, as long as it's ad lekelev, if it's fit for animal consumption, he holds it still has tumas nevela. So why are we saying over here that the fat of the nevelas oif tar is, if it was melted in the sun, will not have the tumah? What's the difference? Even b'chamanami, even if it was melted in the sun and it's not good, it's still fit for animal consumption. And if it's still fit for animal consumption, the halacha should be that it should give tumah. The fact that even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that at that point it doesn't give off tumah is a raya, because netzel, the fat, is considered like netzel, the Gemara is saying, and therefore the fat will not, that's why there's no din of anochel. Answers the Gemara, the raya is not a good raya. Because emas komam chile, when do you melt the fat? Basa desruch b'chama. It only becomes melted after it was out in the sun. The sun dries it up and causes it to become spoiled. Kivin de esrach. And once it becomes spoiled, the halacha views it havale ka'offer. The halacha views it as if it's completely, as if it's dust. And therefore, it's not considered even royal achelas kalif. And therefore, we can't bring a raya
from the case of Shuman to this case. Begins the Gemara. The Mishnah Masechta Taharis, Periches, Mishnah Tes, teaches us the halacha of Nitzach. Nitzach is a flow of liquid that goes from something on the top to the bottom, like water. And the question is, if something is flowing, is that flow going to connect the two places that it's flowing from to flowing to? That means, let's say somebody is pouring from one keli that's tor into another keli that's tamei. Will the flow of the connecting those two kalim cause as if the top keli should also become tamei? Or if somebody's pouring liquid on a sheretz, what will be the halacha on that mashka until it touches the sheretz? Or in the keli that it's coming from, what's the halacha as far as nitzak? It's interesting to point out that even though our Gemara is now discussing the halachas of nitzak as far as hilchas tuma are concerned, as far as hilchas tara concerned, if you want to make a mikvah through nitzak, everybody agrees ein nitzak l'tahara. Our Gemara is now speaking about regarding hilchas tuma. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosom, the Mishnah Masechta Machshirin, Perek Hay, Mishnah Test teaches us, Kol HaNitzik, if you're pouring something from an upper vessel to a lower vessel, Tor. It's not considered connected through the Nitzik, and just because it's touching something, Tameh, it won't affect the status of the upper Keli. Chutz Medvash HaZifim. There's a Machloikus Rishonim, how to explain what Dvash HaZifim are. Some say Dvash HaZifim is the word zif comes from the word zayif, false. It's adulterated honey. And since it's adulterated honey by itself is thick. Here they add water to the honey. And since they add water to the honey, that then the halacha is that it's more liquidy. Others say that dvash zifim is the type of honey that comes from a place called Zif. And in that place, even though normally honey is thick, in that place, honey was more liquidy. Vitzabikis, that you have honey that you take out of the beehive, and it's not, that's on the walls of the beehive, and apparently it's more liquidy. Others say that it's not pure, again, that this is an example of not pure honey. And if you pour honey from a vessel which is tar onto a vessel which is tamei or contains tamei liquid, the nitzik, this connection of the two kalim, the halacha is that it connects the two kalim, and therefore everything that is in the upper keli is going to be tamei. But that's only on this type of honey. Normally, nitzik is not going to be matama. But continues the Mishnah, Beshamaimer afa mikvah shel grisim, even porridge like hot cereal that's made out of grits, shapul, or it's made out of beans, neshe seledes lachreah. What happens, Beshamai, is when you're pouring this type of substance from the upper keli to the lower keli, it causes it to rebound a little. And since it causes it to rebound, that's why it's considered connected. So ask the Gemara, by Rabbi Bachama, what's going to be the halacha yesh nitzik l'oichlin? What's going to be the halacha of somebody melted fat? Will that be a way to connect? Will that be a nitzik? Or a nitzik l'oichl? That is not considered a way to collect. And as Tosfos explains, the question here is being posed according to the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, we just learned in Amun Aleph, they quoted the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, the Dvash HaZifim Vatzapichim, that creates a Nitzik. And the question now is, Beishameh said, because chazeres lachareah, because what's on the bottom bounces up. The question here is that if you don't hold Beis Shammai's opinion, and therefore it's not the bouncing back that causes the tumah. Mi aminin, do we say mishum de isbe rerim, since there are always drops that will jump back, and therefore they're considered like oichlin, vahani les be rerim, only certain foods have these the tendency of bouncing back, not all foods. These are thick. Why makes the dvash sifim that there should be a nitzik? Because they're thick. And hocha, and this food also is smichen, and therefore it can make a connection. Amar Rava, to answer this question, says Rava, Toshma. We're going to learn from a braisa. The braisa says, Chelev hames, the fat that comes off of a dead individual, shusholim, that you have a full kazayas of such fat, v'chitichoy, and then you melt it in fire, tamei, it still gives off tuma, even though it's melted. However, hayimafur, if the fat is so melted that it's spreading out, v'chitichoy, and then you melt it, tahor, because since before you melted, you didn't have it all in one space. You didn't have the kazayas in one place. Even though by melting it, first you had pieces of it. And the pieces were separated one from each other. Since the pieces were separated one from each other, it's not considered as if you have a kazayas min hames. Now by melting them, they all become connected. Since by melting them, they all become connected, the halacha is that since this connection was man-made connection, what do I mean when I say it was a man-made connection? It was my melting it that caused it that it should become one piece. Then the halacha is that won't be considered one kazayis in one place that it should give off tumah. Now Rava continues. V'sakadatach ein nitzik le'oichlem, that if there's never a halacha of nitzik by solid foods. So he asks, even if we started not with small pieces, but we started with sholem, with a whole piece of this fat, v'hitichoy, and now you melted it, nami litar, because now it's not considered all in one place. So if we say that the fact that they're connected in any which way means they're, makes them connected, so that's fine. But if we're going to say that nitzik is not a factor of consideration by food, then why over here is a tamei? It must be that nitzik, that any type of connection is a consideration by tuma. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Zeira, Anoa Mabarei de Ravina Targimna, Hochem Ha'eskinin, the Kabahadi de Machalei, as you're melting this fat, Solak Amuda Lefume de Mana. What happened was that the entire kazayas all congealed together, the karash, it all got congealed together, and now dusikula gaba hadodi. So now what the Gemara is saying is as follows. It could be that if you have a melted kazayas, even though it's all connected, and it never was a situation like we mentioned a moment ago, where it was separated and then connected, but it was always one piece that was always connected, it would not still be tamei. Because ein nitzik ba'ichlin. The reason over here why the halacha is considering them connected, the reason the halacha over here is considering them connected is for a whole different consideration. And that is because it congealed. When it's congealed, it's considered one piece. So again, we're not sure how to look at this halacha. So Amalei Ravina L'Rashi Toshma. B'Shamay said, we learned on the top of this Amud, B'Shamay Af HaMikvish Mitzin Shapol, when you have this porridge, Neishen Soldim Nachreyam, they all bounce back. And that's why it's considered a nitzik. Why do we see that what makes it connected is the fact that it bounces back? So we can learn from here that if it doesn't bounce back, then there is no nitz, there is no connection. Midi area, says the Gemara, is that the way to understand? We can't bring a rain from Beis Shammai. Hasa mishum d'smichim. Something which is thick. That's why it's connected. In other words, the Gemara is suggesting that the pshat behind Beis Shammai's opinion is not because it necessarily balances back. It's the thickness that causes them to be connected. Hacha, but when we're speaking, the reason is mishum riri, that they don't aren't considered connected, and therefore we don't know how to paskin. Says the Gemara, v'amole tarvid rekev. The Mishnah said that if you have a spoonful of earth, of dust, from a decomposed mace, it gives tuma, and the nazar would be considered a nazar tame. Says the Gemara, the kama shurai. We said you had a spoonful, but the question that the Gemara needs to understand is what is considered a spoonful? How do we measure? How does the halacha measure a spoonful? Chizkiyah mekamalim pieces yad. It's the amount that fills up the hand. That means from the place that just the palm itself. Rav Yochanan mekamalim chafnof. Not just the palm, but also the amount that fits in to the fingers. Ask the Gemara on Chizkiyah's opinion. Tanan, the Brisa says, ask the Gemara, Molei Tavid Rekav. When we keep on speaking about the Molei Tavid Rekav, Shamru, that they say the Molei Tavid Rekav of a mace gives of Tumas Oilu, Yeshnon, this shear, Mikar ha etzpas ulamala. You measure from the fingers all the way up to the tip of the finger, Divrameya. The Chamra Imrim, Kamalei Chofnov. You measure the entire fistful, not just the palm, but the fingers as well. So says the Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, Hu damak rabbanon. He's going to follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, that the definition of Tavid Rekov is the entire fistful, not just the palm, but the fingers as well. But ask the Gemara Chizkiyah, who said that it's just the palm, not the fingers, come on. It's like Rameya, because Rameya only looks at the fingers. But like Rabbanon, who look at the entire palm with the fingers, and Chizkiyah just looked at the palm. Amri, says the Gemara, the way Chizkiyah is going to explain his opinion, he's going to hold that Mole Pisas Ayad, or Mole Kishuret Spaisov, the mount that fits into the palm without the fingers, or the mount that fits into the fingers and not with the palm, Chachiruhu. So really, Chizkiyah is agreeing with Rameya. They're just expressing their opinions differently. He's expressing his opinion, looking at it from, Chizkiyah's expressing his opinion by looking at it from the perspective of the palm, and Ramey is expressing it by looking at the filling of the finger. Amalei Rav Simon Adar Bar Papa, Mamai Dehai, how do we know the Mekishrei Mitzboisav Lamala, when he speaks about the fingers, he means La Roish, they're just the finger part, that maybe he meant the palm, the bottom of the fingers, just the palm. And if that would be the question, then Chizkiyah and Rameya would be actually saying the exact same thing. And even though in the Gemara there is the word teiku, the Gemara doesn't, the Tosfos takes out the word teiku. And the reason Tosfos takes out the word teiku is because Tosfos says there's no understanding why the Gemara here would use the word teiku. Teiku means that we have a question that's unresolved. But even if we'll say, whether we say Rameya means the exact same thing as Chizkiyah, or whether we'll say that he doesn't mean the exact same thing as Chizkiyah, it really doesn't make a difference, because we said that the two shurim are the same. The Gemara spoke here about the Tarvid Rekav of a mace that decomposes. So there are some Mefarshim that explain that the Tarvid Rekav that is referred to in our Sugya is not any bone that decomposes of a mace. It's actually referring to the luz bone. And the luz bone is the bone of a person's body that after he passes away, that does not decompose, and that's going to be the bone from which the person, when Tchiyas HaMesim happens, the person will regenerate from that bone. That bone is the Tarvid Rekev. The Afkas Reichel says that that remains forever. And in fact, the Paiskim say, what gives the Tarvid Rekev, the this bone, the ability to remain even after the bone decomposes, and that will cause that the person, when Mashiach comes, will come to regenerate. What gives that bone nourishment is the eating Mlava Malka. If a person eats Mlava Malka, Matzoi Shabbos, that is the nourishment with which that bone will have the ability to cut up for Tchiyas HaMesim, Memhera B'Yomeinu.